Take your Bibles and turn this evening to Proverbs chapter 15. Actually, we'll be looking at a number of passages in Proverbs, but beginning this evening with Proverbs 15, verse 30, and I'm probably going to read 14:30 as well. You know, I remember years ago, I started to hear people talk about the fact that there were different kinds of doctors, that there were MDs and then there were DOs. MDs meaning medical doctors, DOs, doctors of osteopathy. Now, maybe you've never even paid any attention to what letters are at the end of your doctor's name, but I got curious about that, and then I looked it back up recently, and this is the philosophy, or this is the approach, the osteopathic approach to medicine. Now, by the way, if you have an osteopathic doctor, don't panic if you like or don't like this definition. A friend of mine said all doctors in the United States, they have to go through the same rigorous process to be licensed. And so very often we don't even know what the doctor is that we go to. But as one professor of osteopathy said, the osteopathic philosophy involves treating the mind, the body, and the spirit. It's a more holistic approach for the patient. The osteopathic approach is less about prescribing medications and medical procedures and more on the body trying to heal itself. Now let me ask you, don't answer out loud, is that a bunch of mumbo jumbo? I mean, is that a Christian way of thinking? That there are things other than just medications and biochemical reactions that affect our physical health? Well, I think the Proverbs note on a number of occasions that there are. As we read in Proverbs 15:30, bright eyes gladden the heart, good news puts fat on the bones. Look back one chapter to 14:30. 14:30 says this: a tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. Let's pray together. Father, we pray now that you would teach us glorious and wonderful things from your word. Lord, that we might be healthy, both body and soul. Lord, even that we might know the glorious path of life, walking in your wisdom. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Let me say this, so you don't think that your pastor is an alternative medicine groupie. I would say this, that traditional medicine is based on a biblical worldview. And this is what that means, that God is a God of order and that he has created a universe that works certain ways. We can study the way things work and then we can address those things, whether we do it mechanically with the surgery, whether we do it biochemically with a medication. All of that is based on a biblical worldview. But that doesn't mean that we have to have a secular view regarding all the things that we can't see or even can't explain. And in fact, as one commentator has said, the Proverbs seem on a number of occasions to say that there is such a thing as the psychosomatic, that what goes on in our heart can really affect our bodies. And maybe you've known that in your own life when you've been under great stress, when you've been under a time of great fatigue or great hardship. Something that is a physical strain, an emotional anxiety, a mental anxiety, then that seems to have an effect on your body as well. And the Proverbs show us, and the reason that these Proverbs are given, and we'll look at a number of them this evening, as we have really our last sermon in the Proverbs, as I'm kind of finishing up a series in the Proverbs. Next week we'll do sort of a standalone out of Ecclesiastes, sort of a wrap-up to wisdom literature before we get into a different schedule for the summer. But what we see this evening in Proverbs is that God has made us to know true life, body and soul, in Christ. God has created us and designed us and destined us for true life, body and soul, in Christ. And we see that first in the path of tranquility and peace and joy. Look again at chapter 14, verse 30. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. Now, what does all of that mean? Well, it helps us a little bit to understand what those words would have meant in their original context and sort of the nuances as we translate them. But literally, what the proverb says is life to the flesh or the body is a heart that is tranquil, or we could say sound or at peace. On the other hand, envy or greed, translated in the New American Standard, passion, envy or greed is rot to the bones. Have you ever seen someone whose bones have been rotting from envy? Someone so consumed with greed that no matter what they have, it is not enough, and everything that someone else has, they resent the fact that they don't have it as well. And it is rot to their bones. It is a miserable bitterness. If we flip back, flip in your Bibles to Psalm 32, and we see an acknowledgement on the part of David that that where our heart is spiritually starts to have a real effect on the way we feel physically. Remember, Psalm 32 is a psalm in which David is reflecting on his time of sin with Bathsheba and then concealing that sin and then the effect that it had. And he says in Psalm 32, beginning in verse 3, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." David says, while I kept silent, while I concealed my sin, while I didn't face my sin, while I did not acknowledge and repent of my sin, it was as if my strength wasted away in the fever heat of summer. Have you ever experienced heat exhaustion? Maybe not heat stroke, but maybe you've just worked out in the yard. I grew up in Florence, South Carolina, which is only superseded by Columbia in its infernal hotness during the summer months. And when I was younger, my jobs would be yard work and working outside, and all of my hobbies were spent outside. And so it was just sometimes simply the heat was utterly exhausting. And so David says, when I didn't face my sin, acknowledge my sin, address my sin, it was like my bones wasted away. And on the other hand, he says, when I acknowledged my sin, faced my sin, confessed my sin, dealt with my sin, then all of that changed. Because the Lord restored to David, and there was a lot of sad fallout in his life because of his sin. But he knew in great measure tranquility and peace and joy. And so ultimately for you and me as Christians, and it's appropriate to think about this as we come to the Lord's table this evening in a few moments, that's a peace that flows from the gospel. In this world, there can be no peace apart from Christ, only diversion and delay, but no peace. You can divert yourself from the hard things that happen. You can try to delay the hard things that every one of us knows is coming for us one day, sooner or later. And yet all we can know is diversion and delay. It's only when we see and really own who we are as sinners before God and cry out to Christ to save us from our sin that we know true tranquility and joy and peace. There is real peace. There is real joy in not holding on to sin, not having to hide sin, not having to defend sin, but turning from our sin to Christ. And God has made you to know, you're designed to know true life and joy and peace. And so Psalm 32, David is a reminder that sin makes people sick. Sin can make people sick, truly and actually sick. It can be the turmoil of envy. It can be the bitterness that eats at somebody's soul. It can be the refusal of sin while there's still the refusal to deal with sin when there is the ever-present guilt of sin that some of you, I've talked to people that have told me they became literally clinically depressed or mentally ill because of their sin. Now, I'll say this again in a minute. That's not to say that all sickness is a result of sin. But there can be a relationship between sickness and sin. When we're narcissistic, when we're proud, when we're self-absorbed, then, you know, we pretty much become angry, paranoid, and despondent eventually, embittered over how others are treating us or are not treating us, afraid of and angry at God, afraid of God and angry at Him because we recognize that we got to stand before Him, but we've never truly come to the cross of Christ to have our sin taken away. And so we have somewhere back in the back of our mind, back in the back of our heart, this awareness that we'll stand before God or that we're on a trajectory to stand before God in our sin rather than in Christ. Now again, that is not to say that all illness is a result of sin. In fact, I would suppose that probably almost all illness is not the result of sin. It's the result of a fallen world. But it's not an illegitimate question to ask. You know, David says in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." God has made us to know true life, body and soul, in Christ. But there's something else we see if we flip back to Proverbs 15. If we flip back to Proverbs 15, we see that there is something aside from, in addition to just repentance, that actually can be quite a blessing and a nourishment to us, body and soul. In Proverbs 15 and verse 4, "A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit." Again, in verse 30, "Bright eyes gladden the heart, good news puts fat on the bones." If we flip over to chapter 16 and verse 24, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." A perverted, a twisted, a manipulative, a cruel tongue can crush the spirit. And a soothing tongue is a tree of life. A glad heart is like fat on the bones. And remember, the way it's used in Proverbs, fat on the bones is a good thing. You know, we live in a day when most of us are trying to get fat off the bones or keep fat off the bones. And we're trying to put muscle on the bones without putting any fat on the bones. But the Proverbs, they were written at a time when many people simply starved to death. or they became terribly sick and weak and died then as a result of illness because they just could not get enough calories. And so it's the reason that your great-grandmother would say, "Honey, it's good for you not to get too thin. You need a little bit of extra weight in case you get sick. You need a little bit of extra weight to get through the winter." My grandmother, who was born in 1909, would tell me that. I'm like, "You don't understand. That's not my problem." But in the time of the Proverbs, it was a good thing. It was a wonderful delicacy to have a dinner that had fat in it, like a good ribeye. And it was a good thing to have a little bit of fat on your bones. And so a healing tongue is sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Because God has made you to know true life, body and soul in Christ. And that means that you need in your life those who will speak words of healing to your bones. And you need to seek opportunities that you can be for a brother or sister in Christ, healing to the bones. You need those people in your life. Now, the application, by the way, that does not mean surround yourself with yes men. That's not what that means. You and I need people around. We need around us those that will instruct us and rebuke us and confront us and counsel us from the Word of God. But we also need those that will encourage us in the grace of Christ, because God has made us to know true life, body and soul in Him. You do not need around you, and I want to say this especially to young people, you do not need around you as your inner circle those that will manipulate you and tear you down. You don't need that. I mean, it's not to say that you should be rude and not friendly to people who don't know Christ, but your inner circle, your friends need to be those, as J.C. Ryle said, that are good for your soul. That applies to your peers, again, your friends. Are they good for your soul? That young man or that young woman that you're dating, is he or she good for your soul? Are your friendships good for your soul? Do they put fat on your bones, as it were? Because God has made you to know true life, body and soul in Christ. But that means turning it around the other way, that he desires for each one of us to use our tongue to nourish and encourage and heal. Not to curse and to criticize and to tear down, but to encourage and build up in the grace of Christ. And so that means that you and I need to speak to people about Christ. And we need to encourage them and point them to Christ. And sometimes when they're suffering the pains of this world, or they are lamenting the absence of felt needs being met, it's a great opportunity to talk to them about what our true need is and to point them to Christ. But I would say this to you. One of the greatest times that you can be used to speak healing and to put fat on somebody's bones is when they have failed. That's when you can come alongside and maybe acknowledge, yes, this was not good. This was sin. This was sad. And that is why Christ died on the cross. And you know what? It's not just you that fails. It's me that fails. It's everybody that fails. I mean, we have the opportunity sometimes to say that to people, to our children, to others, but to say that's exactly why Jesus died. And Jesus took that upon Himself on the cross. And Jesus took the shame of that on Himself on the cross. And Jesus took the guilt of that on Himself on the cross. It is no longer, if you're in Christ, it's not on you anymore. It was on Him. And He died for it, and He rose because He paid for it all. You know, there's a I've mentioned it before, but there is some commentator that noted, what is the thing that people most like to hear? The thing that people most like to hear is, I love you. The things people second most long to hear, I forgive you. And sometimes what people need to hear, what puts the fat on the bones of their soul, as it were, is to press home to them, you've been forgiven in Christ. And there may be some consequences, there may be some things to deal with, there may be some work to do, there may be some help that's needed, but you've been forgiven in Christ. That sin has been removed from you as far as east is from the west. By the way, how far are east and west apart from each other? The answer is they keep going in the opposite directions. There's never a meeting of east and west. One is that way and one is that way, or I happen to know one is that way and one is that way, but they never meet. And so sometimes the greatest opportunities to speak healing are when somebody has inflicted an injury on themselves. And yet the Lord's desire is that we come to repentance so that we might know true tranquility and peace and joy, that we might know true life, body and soul. As we sort of wrap all of that up, looking again at chapter 15, we see a contrast between, in a number of verses, between a broken spirit and a joyful heart. Look at chapter 15, verse 13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. If you flip over to chapter 17 and verse 22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And then one more flip to the right, chapter 18 and verse 14. And I love the way that it's said in this one. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can bear it? You can endure sickness, but a broken or a crushed spirit, who can bear? You can endure sickness and poverty and hardship and any number of afflictions, but when a spirit is broken, that is a horrible, sad thing. But it's not the will of our Heavenly Father that we remain with a broken spirit. It is that we know true life, body, and soul in Christ. Now, again, don't truncate that down to simply say, well, you know, so long as they're happy. You know, I think parents, sometimes we make that mistake. Just as long as our children are happy, that's all we really want. Well, sometimes they need to be unhappy right now so they'll be more happy later. Sometimes there's nothing we can do to make them happy right now, but there can be the joy of the Lord in Christ. But again, that joy is found in walking with Christ, in knowing Christ, in seeing the hand and the work of Christ in our lives. And so ultimately, the answer is to learn to delight in Him, not to have the circumstances of life get easy, because again, the proverb says, sickness we can endure. There are all kinds of hard things that we endure because this is a fallen world. This is a hard life. But that doesn't mean that it is the Lord's will that our spirit would be broken. In fact, even the hard afflictions in our own health or our own families or the things that are hard at school or the things that are at work, these become occasions to learn to delight in the glory of God in Christ, the riches of His mercy in Christ. Are you rejoicing in Christ? Is that putting fat on the bones of your soul? You know, we got up yesterday morning, and we don't tend to sleep in my family, because if the sun's up, you should be too. And We were sitting around in the den, and somebody at some point, we were drinking coffee, somebody said, "Hey, wait a minute, isn't there a royal wedding on?" And so we turned it on, and we watched an hour, hour and a half of royal wedding. Lots of comments about the dress, the veil, the sermon, the architecture. Why in the world are we so fascinated with those things? There's probably a number of answers to that. Someone has said, well, we were made to worship, and we very naturally are always looking for something to worship. I think that the reason for a lot of us is we think, if my life could just be like that, then life would be good. If I can marry a prince, if I can marry an actress, if I could live on those grounds, if I could have all of those people attending to me, then my life would be good. And you know, the wonderful thing of the scriptures is for you and me to know life and joy and peace. We just simply don't have to have those things. Those are available to every single one of us. Whether you can trace your ancestry to the House of Windsor, and a couple of you maybe can. I mean, go back far enough, you can trace your lineage to anything. But most of us, we know we can't. And yet we can know true life and joy and peace. In Christ, we don't need status or wealth or beauty or gifts or privilege to know joy. The flip side, you know this, don't you? We know this even from royal weddings of the last few decades. You can have all those things without Christ and know no joy at all. And yet you and I have been delivered from the bondage and the misery of sin that we might know joy in Christ. And so the question is this evening, where are you looking for your joy and your life and your peace? Is your spirit broken and crushed? Or are you rejoicing in Christ? Are you surrounded by, surrounding yourself with, allowing yourself to be surrounded by those twisted things that will crush your soul? Or are you surrounding yourself with those that will encourage and build you up in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God has designed us. And Christian, God has saved you that you might know true life, body and soul, in Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you and we acknowledge that we are a people worthy of misery, and so often who make our own lives miserable or allow them to be made that way. And Lord, sometimes we are simply cruelly treated, such that our spirits are broken. But we praise you, Father, that you do not leave us there in Christ. We praise you, Father, that we can know a joy that is infinitely greater than anything that this world might offer, that we one day, Lord, will stand in glorious mansions, that we will one day stand in your glorious presence, giving you perfect praise. And Father, even the greatest ceremony that we might see in this world will not even begin to compare. And so, Lord, remind us of who we are in Christ. Lord, use us to remind others of who they are in Christ. And Lord, especially when others who perhaps don't know you are suffering from the misery and the bondage of sin, use us to speak to them, Lord, of the deliverance that's found in Christ. Lord, as we talk to family members and friends and others that are struggling, or even they've not struggled and they've not fallen, they've dived, and yet use us, Lord, to speak of the richness of your mercy in Christ, that they might know restoration and healing in their bones. Lord, we pray that you would make us be a people who walk in the joy, the tranquility, the peace of life in Christ. Through him we pray. Amen.